Yeah, no, it's all good. I already handled that individually. Thank you. Okay, last week, and Tyler, are you recording from the get-go? All our announcements and everything? Super. Last week, what did we talk about? Who remembers what we talked about last week? Who can tell us what we talked about last Wednesday night? And I'll give you a hint, don't go to your systematic theology notebooks. Who can recall? Now, I will give you that we have a lot of meetings around here. You know, we have a Sunday church gathering. We have a Wednesday women's Bible study. We have a Wednesday night gathering. We have a Saturday men's Bible study. There's meetings that happen throughout the week. So I understand there's lots of things we talk about. And so this next comment is not meant to be too aggressive because we have lots of things we talk about, and maybe you just don't remember what night we talked about what. And you just need a little reminder. However, I want us to remember what we talk about, right? Because we are to be being built up and equipped. And I think last Wednesday night's discussion was a very important discussion for the life of this church. So now as Roy tells us we talked about it, it'll jog all your memories, I'm sure. Assuming Roy can remember.
What sticks out for me is the responsibility that believers have in this local assembly to purify Christ Church or play their part in purifying Christ Church.
Okay, so good, Roy. We talked about church discipline and church discipline not primarily being a job of the elders. You know, first line of defense, if you will, the first line of offense, the first line of church discipline is the body with one another. And so we spent all of last Wednesday talking about the sanctification process and the need and the command for us to love one another and have discussions about one another's if we see sin or we think we see sin. And so my next question is, has anybody have a testimony of doing that this week? Or first, before, if there's any testimonies, did anybody have an opportunity to have those types of discussions this week? I have a hand up. Slightly, mildly, halfway, so halfway. That's it? Just one of you? Do you have it by yourself? Do you have it with somebody in our body? Okay, apparently somebody else doesn't have their hand up. So, I guess it's okay. And by the way, I know a couple of you had discussions along these lines because I've talked to you about them, so maybe you're missing the question. It is to actually talk to one another about the things of God and about sanctification in our lives, in one another's lives, and possibility that, you know, there, if you think you see sin or you do see sin, addressing that. So my next question would be, is that because you witnessed no sin this week? So I'll ask it this way. Did anyone have a week where they saw no one in this body sin? It's okay to put your hand up. I'm really not going to yell at anybody. I don't think. I might, but I don't intend to. Okay? So I only saw a few hands go up. The rest of you would say you witnessed sin in the body. Is that accurate? Okay, who did witness sin? What they thought might be sin in somebody in this body this week. Okay, so I've gotten 5 hands out of 55 or 60 people. So somebody who didn't raise their hand for one of those, tell me how I'm not being clear in my discussion. Kevin, you didn't raise your hand, did you? So help me understand how I'm not being clear, because I'm not being clear apparently.
Well, I didn't raise my hand.
Is there something wrong with that volume? It sounds muffled to me. Is it just me?
Maybe it's me.
Well, it sounded like that all day.
I didn't raise my hand because I have something ongoing that I didn't want to respond about, that I'm going to be dealing with something.
Okay. So you are in the middle of that process. So
correct.
You Yeah, and the risk would be I would call on you. So you should have had your hand up that yes, you have, and yes, you're in the process of having a discussion about that.
Okay. Then my
is that true?
That is true.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Somebody else who didn't raise their hand for either of those, tell me how I'm not being clear. Because I'm not being clear, obviously. Callie, did you raise your hand for either one of those? Okay, so let Callie tell me how I'm not being clear.
I think you're clear. I'm just trying to remember everything that I saw this week and remember if I saw or I didn't.
Okay, great. So you weren't sure. Okay. For anybody who believes that they're... So, and it's really important that this isn't about a witch hunt. Right? This isn't about becoming sin police. But now that we understand more than we did last week, the command we have and the again, we looked at the example of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt, and in Hebrews it tells us we don't want anybody to fall away like that. And one of the reasons in Hebrews 10:24 that we gather and spur one another on is that no one would fall away. And the deceitfulness of sin would drag them away, and we don't want that. And we talked about last week that if Roy's in sin and Brad believes he sees sin in Roy's life, that he's basically saying to Roy, I don't care if you fall away. I don't care if you're apostate. God's sovereign. If you're going to fall away, you're going to fall away, so I don't need to do anything about it. To hell with you. And we certainly don't say that. Brad certainly wouldn't say that about Roy, I wouldn't think. So, in this body, I know from having talked to some of you that you have sincere, godly concerns for your brothers and sisters. That I don't find to be judgmental or self-righteous. Now, I don't even know if they're correct or not, but you have a sincere desire for holiness. So, let's love one another enough to talk about those things. You know, and we talked about last week, if you don't know, it's because you don't ask. Now, I'm going to pick on John, but not because I'm saying John's in sin. But here's what I would say. Everybody in this church has, I think, most of this church has some knowledge of John's home life. Some knowledge. You might not have any knowledge of John's home life. Some of you might not. Chris and Taylor might not. Taylor probably does. You may have, besides Chris, Tamara says, I don't know much about it. Natalie says, doesn't much about it. Okay, great. So, in the men in the room, all of you have some knowledge of John's home life. And you know that John's family is sporadically here. And one of the things that we elders talk to John about is the leadership of his family. Not going necessarily assuming he's in sin, going to say, John, how are you leading your family? Why don't we see them here? You know, I don't quite understand. Well, I do, and I don't want this to be too, I think we all need to learn to love John enough to ask him. To ask him, to spur him on to love and good works. And maybe as you ask him, you find out he's trying really hard. And maybe that's what you find out. You know, or maybe, so Tamara has given confession and testimony the last Sunday and then again today that she struggles with hard-heartedness towards her husband. Right? Have any of you ladies gone to check with her on that? Have you been praying for her about that? I think it's really important that we do that. You know, because when I meet with Tamara, we'll talk about that. And if she's in sin, we'll talk about her sin. And I will call her repentance for her sin. And I know this can be a fine line, right? Although it really isn't. We ought to be mature enough to have these discussions and to care. I mean, I know some of you that have, again, godly concern for others in this body that you've expressed to me, that I've said, talk to them. So let's remember that. And church discipline sounds so bad. And it's really not. What is a disciple? What is discipline? What is discipline intended to do? Reconciliation and learning. We want to learn. And we want to be reconciled. We want to be right with God. Not just unto salvation, but also unto holy living. Reconcile. What does reconciliation in Christ mean? Somebody, what does it mean to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? Saved. That's one thing it certainly means, to be saved. And then once we're saved, are we back to our original sin, original condition of man before the fall? Are we sinless once we're saved? No, so we're ongoingly being reconciled to God through Christ. So if our lives are not in alignment with, now, if you think about it, if we get better at public confession and we get better at church discipline, what will be the result? Huh? More Christ-like. More holy. What else could be the result? Smaller church. That's true. What else could be the result? A purified church? What else? What do we think could be the result that keeps us from doing these things? What are we afraid of? Roy? I'll let you take the mic now because Colleen's really getting tired of not getting up and getting down.
Just strained relationships.
Okay, relational conflict. And I think that's a valid concern that we ought to have. It ought to guide how we do every one of these things we're talking about. We ought to practice Philippians 2, 3, and 4 inside of this. Because in Philippians, it's actually talking about unity and like-mindedness. And that's when it goes into do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility considers others better than yourselves. Each one should look out not only to his own interests, but the interests of others. What that verse is in is a passage about like-mindedness and unity and maturity in the faith. We use it for lots of other things, but that's what it's in context of. So we ought to have a focus on relations, relational conflict. But somebody tell me what Proverbs 27:17 says. If you don't have it, look it up, somebody, and tell us what Proverbs 27:17 says. Matt's pretty fast. I think he's there. I'm sorry? Yeah, you did.
A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to
27:17?
Nope. That was 7. Is that good enough? No. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
As iron sharpens iron, so sharpens a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, somebody exegete that for me. Somebody exegete Proverbs 27:17. Okay, Brad? Since nobody had his hand up, Brad, you got called on.
Not sure how to explain the countenance portion.
Let's start with the first part. What's the first part say before the comma?
As iron sharpens iron.
Okay, good. What picture should we get in our head right now?
Of ironing sharpening iron.
Good. So it's not a trick question, right? And who's ever watched iron rub on iron? Have you ever seen that happen? Anybody not seen it happen? Has anybody not seen metal rub against metal hard? Okay, good. For those of you who haven't, Brad, what happens when iron rubs against iron, when iron sharpens iron?
Sparks.
Sparks fly. It is a very grating process. I mean, when iron sharpens iron, it is a very grating process. And then sparks are flying and little chunks of the metal are getting peeled off. It's a pretty violent process. So, that's what we're supposed to visualize. Okay, as iron sharpens iron, sparks are flying. Not as jello sharpens jello, as iron sharpens iron. What's it say?
So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Okay. Do you know what countenance means? Okay. Who knows what countenance means? Who would like to define that for us? Mother, you like to define it? Appearance or face? Okay, kind of. Somebody could look it up and tell me if I'm wrong, but the countenance is the demeanor or the appearance of one. So right now, my countenance is happy. Your countenance looks tired, thoughtful. Okay, that's the countenance. It's kind of your aura, for a lack of a better definition. Somebody can look it up and tell me I'm wrong. That's how I own the word. So, as iron sharpens iron, so what?
A man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
So if I'm going to sharpen the countenance, the aura, the person of Roy, how am I going to do that? Based on this passage.
By talking about the impurities in him.
Good. And what might fly?
Sparks.
Is it going to feel good to Roy?
No.
Might not to me either. I don't know if there's a dominant piece of iron, so I can't really go there. But to the one being sharpened, I can assure you that's not going to feel good. And that's the picture we're trying to be given here. So I know some of you ladies right now, I know some ladies are having some discussions that are challenging. And I praise God for it. Because you're being sharpened. And we want to run from that. And we want to defend against it, and we want to not be too pushy and all the things. And while it's true we should be concerned for relational conflict, understand as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Sanctification and holiness is a painful process. And it's okay. I can remember having some discussions with Kevin. Not a lot of them, but some discussions with Kevin. I remember one in particular. We had a meeting with him, with the elders at a Hy-Vee, and he was in a situation. And as he saw that situation, you know, he saw really no fault or was having a hard time seeing much. And as we showed him that, it was painful. Boy, you know, really? You know, and Kevin, by the grace of God, praise God, he accepts reproof and rebuke well. And he did that too, fine, but it was like, you know what, I don't, I mean, little red-faced Kevin. You get a lot of red-eyed Kevin, you don't get a lot of red-faced Kevin. So he was not digging it much. Because it's painful to be sharpened. And God showed him a lot through that process and humbled him greatly through that process. So I'm not out there looking for a fight, even though y'all might think I am. We've had meetings maybe where you think, Pastor, why do you always got to dig? Why do you always got to try to bring something up? Why can't things just be copacetic? You know, Duncan, with my dad, with Elder Nick, why do you always got to dig? Why can't we just get together and talk about the Cubs? Look, Christ cares about the purity of his church, so do we, and so we should willingly give that sharpening, and we should willingly receive that sharpening, understanding it's not easy. It is sparky. It is painful. Okay, somebody talk to me at this point so far. Roy, Donnie. I would think I'd have 4 or 5 or 6 or 42 people ready to share.
So part of this week's homework for marriage class is chapter 15 of Exemplary Husband, which is dealing with your wife's sin. And so as I'm reading through that chapter, and yes, I understand the focus is in my marriage and dealing with my wife's sin when it's there. But what blew up for me as I'm reading that is in that chapter, there's some very good biblical guidelines, not just for dealing with our wife's sin, but with our brothers and sisters. So anybody that's got one of those books, I encourage you to go to that chapter 15. And yeah, we need to be focused on our marriage and our wives' sin, but it also lays out some pretty good.
So I think Roy is speaking to is a wise way to go about that. And there's some checkpoints along the way for if you even should be going and why you're going. So, Donnie?
So what I'm about to share is, it's going to be a little different. I'm going to throw myself under the bus. So yesterday I had a very...
Donnie, you don't make any mistakes. Okay, go ahead.
So yesterday in my meeting with the pastor, he immediately pointed out to me,
it was not immediate, Donnie. It was later on in the meeting. I was nice for a while.
And he pointed out to me an issue in my life that, you know, it's a habit that I really don't pay attention to. And there's a manifestation of pride. I have a tendency of completing people's sentences, especially when it's the things of God, when I have the thought process, you know, in my mind. And then as they're speaking, I tend to complete their sentences. And I've noticed I did that several times, and even after meeting, I continue to do it. And then I went home, and I saw how sinful and wicked and sickening that it really was. And you know, as I have conversations with my daughters, how they can see it, and that just really broke me. God has really smacked me upside my head and showed me that, and I saw past forgiveness, and it was iron sharpening iron. And I praise God, and I went to pastor, I saw his forgiveness, and I praise God for that.
Good. So, you know, so look, so Donnie tends to complete people's sentences for them. No big deal, right? Well, it certainly is an inhibitor to communication. And you know, Donnie didn't get upset and push back, but Donnie's not used to, well, I think it blindsided him completely. I think he wasn't even expecting it or looking for it. So it kind of took him aback. But being Donnie and being good Donnie, he didn't argue like some of you might. You know, he was like, really? I think, kind of. But he didn't disagree. He said, thank you for it. And then throughout the evening, a couple of times, he did it. And I would point it out to him so that he could see that. And that was a little bit painful for Donnie. I guess he went home and it was painful, because he saw that as being very prideful. So praise God. Yeah. I guess a bad analogy, but I'm going to go with it. Are you the kind of friend that's going to tell your friend that they have a booger hanging out their nose or not? Right? Are you going to tell your friend that they've got, you know, spit hanging from the side of their mouth or not? You know what? And many people in this room would pride themselves in saying, of course I'm that kind of friend. I don't want them to look stupid. Of course I would tell them that. A booger out their nose is a lot worse than sin in their life. A lot better, I should say. A lot less worse than sin in their life. So why won't you be the kind of friend that would do that? Yeah, I used a bad analogy because I get the girls giggling and kids are going to be going home saying, why is Pastor talking about boogers? Well, kids, because Pastor doesn't think of very holy analogies sometimes. That's why. Grace is like, wow, it's great. What's anybody else thinking about this discussion? It's, if nothing, fine, but. So are we ready to be this kind of church? Kirsten.
So recent, well, it was a while ago that I was rebuked by Tammy, who had the boldness to call me out on a lot of stuff, and I didn't take it so well, and I don't like it. I don't like to be told that I'm not perfect, and I don't like to feel ganged up on.
You know what's so ironic about that? Kirsten, are you perfect?
No.
I got it. But if I asked every one of us in this room, there's not one of us that would say we were perfect. Okay? And then if I went back around and asked every one of us, do you like to have your imperfections pointed out? No. Why? Because I don't like to be reminded I'm not perfect. But you already know it. You already know it. You just said you weren't. Okay.
Well, so where I went with that was I'm not talking to anybody anymore. I'm not going to places I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to hang out with the body where they're going to be watching me all the time, looking for my sin. And it was a miserable couple months. But when all is said and done, it led me to really consider where I stood with God. And it led me to that wonderful time of repentance on my vacation. And as I wasn't here last week, but I listened to it, and I still get this feeling inside of me that says I don't want anybody to tell me what's wrong with me. But I understand that that's my pride. That's just about pride, and it's horrible in the sight of God.
Great. And then what happens to Kirsten and most of us is if somebody comes to us and we aren't very spiritual, or we're being sinful, or we're not saved, any of the above, we then want to get away from that. We don't want to be around that. And so what do? We isolate. Whether we physically actually isolate or just emotionally isolate or la, 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 I can't hear you isolate, we isolate. Well, here's what the Bible says about that. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. You are a fool if you don't want people to tell you about your sin. You are raging against all wise judgment. You are seeking your own desires, and that is, I know I'm not perfect, but I like it, and I want to keep doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and you're a fool. You're raging against all wise judgment. Who else? Who knows where the kisses of a friend are? Or kisses of an enemy. Who can find that for me? Find the proverb for me. Someone. When you have it, raise your hand. Johnny Donson.
Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now let's take Proverbs 27:17 and combine it with Proverbs 27:6. And those wounds are faithful. Welcome them. Don't be foolish. And the kind of church we will be by God's grace, because it's a biblical church, is when one goes and you foolishly deny and isolate, then two or three are coming. And then when that fails, then the whole church is going to gang up on you. And then if and when that fails, you will be put out of the church. And that's the church we'll be. And if that scares you, you love your sin. Who would push back at that model? Hey, if somebody comes to me and tells me I'm in sin, and I'm not trying to hear it, they'd love me enough to bring a couple, three, and I'm still not trying to hear it. They'd love me enough, the whole church would come after me, because they love me that much. And they that much don't want me to be like the Egyptians or the Israelites, who fall to the deceitfulness of sin. Why would we not embrace that? Because we love our sin. Roy? And then Duncan, a.k.a. Dad or Faja.
Now, unless I'm hearing you wrong, you're going by the presupposition that there is sin.
Sure.
So, because there's times where there's accusations made or sin brought to someone that they saw it wrong, like Kevin eating jalapeno pepper.
Perfect.
So I think that is worthy of discussion.
Sure, great. And for those who weren't here last week, so if I see Kevin over in the corner, red-faced and barking at his wife, and I go to him, I say, Brother Kevin, it looked like you were being very harsh with Jen. Tell me about that. He says, oh, Pastor, you know, actually what happened was I was choking on a really hot jalapeno. And my face was all red because I was choking. And I was barking literally because I was choking. And Jen was trying to help me. Oh, great. We're not going any further. Yep, I asked a question. Brother Kevin, it appeared like you were being harsh with your wife. You were red-faced and barking at her. Not, Kevin, you're sinning. You're being harsh with your wife. Don't you know what Colossians says? Repent. Now, let's say Kevin says, Pastor, look, you know, it wasn't a big deal. My wife kind of deserved it. I wasn't really upset. Kevin, I don't believe you. And I'm going to take two or three. Now, in that process of taking two or three, we may come to find out I was inaccurate. A couple other guys witnessed it or talk with Kevin and don't see it the same way. But I want to get back to, if we have sin in our lives, we should welcome that, Dad.
See, I feel that this church has progressed enough.
Put your a little closer.
I feel that this church has progressed enough through our teachings. I can't speak for everybody. I don't think myself would listen to that person if they came to me. I think that we're to the point that we would listen to that. I think that we're enough of a church that we would do that.
Let me take that a step further, though. What does it mean to listen to? When you say listen to, what does that mean?
To listen to what's being said, take it in, to understand it, understand what's being said, and then to give a response to the person that brought that to you.
Okay. So let's go back to an example of something in your life that isn't there anymore. So it'll be one that, praise God, you've been delivered from. But there was a time when men would come to you and say, Duncan, your nicotine is idolatry. And you would listen. And then what would you do? And then what would you do?
Ignore it.
Go right back and keep chewing. So did you really listen?
No, but once I finally understood that it was an idol, then it was since that day I've never done it again.
Well, it took a while.
Huh?
It took a while because at one point we had a meeting where you said, yeah, I kind of see that, and then went back to it. Eventually, that's what you saw.
Yeah.
But see, the key to that was he got sick and tired of hearing it, but we kept going to him about it. Elder Nick and the other elders, mainly Elder Nick, kept going to you about it, of course. But see, we have to love one another enough and be mature enough to receive that and to give that. Tamara. Oh, you had your hand up a long time ago, didn't you? My bad. I got Tamara. Yes. I got carried away with something. I don't know what it was.
So that's where there's a lot of peace for me in the Sunday nights, because I think I can speak for myself. I've really learned how to act so that nobody in this room will see my, except for maybe Colleen, because she lives in my house practically. But the rest of you don't see what I act like or am like and think like, because I can do that very well here. Okay, we're going to church face on, everything's great. You know, I don't do any of those things, but you know, when you have to confess your sin and bring it to light, then people are able to see it. And I think that's what God intended for that.
I agree. That's part of confession, to bring it to light. You should want it to come to light so that you could be healed. Now, Tamara made a claim that going back over the last year or so or whenever, when she was in those moods, nobody knew it. Did anybody ever see Tamara come to church or come to a function where you thought, boy, it's not going well for Tamara, even though she's acting like it's just fine? Anybody ever notice that? If you did, okay, then why didn't you go to her? With a question, not a statement. Hey, I know you're in a bad place. No, Tamara, boy, it sure seems like you're uptight. I'm fine. I don't believe you. Here's why I don't. Have that discussion. Let's say somebody comes to you and they say, hey, Tammy, boy, it's just not going well for you today, I can tell. No, really, it's fine, she says. And I say, I don't believe you. If it is fine for her, how will she react to my unbelief? Calmly. No, really, Pastor, it's all good. But the minute she says, I told you once I'm fine, the fact you don't believe me, that's your problem. Guess what? I'm right. I was right in the first place. That's not how a peaceful heart reacts. You know, tell me I'm in a bad mood right now. Tell me as many times as you want. It's not accurate. Pastor, I really think you're pretty hard-hearted towards Kirsten right now. Not true. No, I can tell. It's not true. I'm not. What would make you say that? Tell me why you say that, because it's not accurate. Well, because I saw you throw that dart at her forehead. Oh, you saw that. No, I didn't. Right? I mean, again, you can't get me uptight about that subject. And when Tamara's in one of those I'm okay moods, I've experienced it. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take a lot of digging. It's about a 1.4 second reaction time. It's right there on the surface. Praise God. It's right there on the surface. It won't take you a lot of work to get there. You know, so now, Tamara, should we start with your sin of the upset or your sin of lying? Which would you like to start with? Right? Because now we got both of those things to deal with. Okay. What do you think? Anything else about that topic? So everyone is prepared to love each other. Everyone is prepared to receive that love. And it's all for the purposes of feeling better about ourselves. It's all for the purposes of looking better to the world. It's all to the glory of God. It's all to the purity of Christ's bride. See, that's how he washes her through the word. So she's without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. How he does that is through his body. Purifying itself by the grace of God and the power of Christ. Christ doesn't supercalifragilisticexpialidocious his church. It's not some wooey-wooey. It's by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit's power, by being Spirit-led, by the power of Christ, Christ's church purifies itself as we care about one another to the glory of God. Okay. Somebody's got something. I need some more comments, thoughts. I see a lot of people deep in thought, so that means there's something going through your head. Or, no. Tammy?
Are there times that we should just let some things go? I mean, because it can, because kind of how you're talking, it's, boy, you know, I get what Kirsten's saying. You know, it's that feeling of, I don't want to move and breathe because sure enough, I'm, you know, somebody's going to come and say, oh, I saw you breathing funny. And, you know, and it's that feeling of, how under the microscope do we put people, or how under the microscope, and where?
So I think, Tammy, we're a long way from that. But as we would approach that, I think that we would certainly talk about it. You know, if we were that way, I think we would talk about that, because I suppose there would be a level of that depending on the my heart coming. Mm-hmm. Right? And my plank before I came. But my first answer would be no. However, it's because I don't think we're anywhere near that point. I've really never witnessed that. Now, I've witnessed a lot of people being sin police. I've absolutely witnessed that. That's not what we're talking about there. You know, we haven't gotten there, Tyler. So when we do, and by God's grace, we won't.
So there's a MacArthur blogged about this very topic.
Uh-oh.
His last two blogs. And the blog that he ended today talked about 1 Peter 4:8. And that, so his blog today was exactly what we're talking about our responsibility to go to our brothers and sisters when we see sin in their lives. And at the end he said, you know, some people will say, we'll use 1 Peter 4:8 and love covers a multitude of sins to say that this doesn't need to happen. And then he left it at, we're going to address that next time. So that was the only place my mind went, is that was a relevant blog going on. And I think Tammy's question is probably going to be somewhat answered in the next post that would come up on the Grace to You site.
Great. You know, as I think about Grace Community Church, one of the things that I've always tried to figure out, because it's very influential, John MacArthur is very influential in my life and the life of this church. And so, you know, the whole size of the church, number of elders, boy, how can they be getting shepherded? I often wonder. But what I'm becoming more and more convinced of, they have a culture of this, what we're talking about. I think he's led his congregation for a long time with this type of a culture of first line of defense is the body spurring one another on, going to one another. So I think there's a lot less possibly necessity of elder direct shepherding. That's what I think. So if you want less meetings with the elders, start doing it with one another. Tammy says, sign me up. Yep. But I think I trust John MacArthur. I trust that he's a man of God that means what he says and preaches what he means. And I've heard him talk about that a number of times.
I think James 5:19-20 is relevant.
Read that for us then.
Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns his back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins.
What does it mean to cover a multitude of sins in that passage? How many sins get covered when a sinner turns from the error of his ways? All of them, right? Everyone he ever committed, he or she ever committed. They're all covered by Christ. Anybody else? Mr. Yant.
I think so much of this is really all in our delivery and how we approach people and our demeanor and our desire to seek the best for them, but always looking for the best in them and seeking their own best interest. And so when we can engage somebody with a heart of compassion and love toward them, it won't come out as if we're the sin police. And so much of that begins within our own hearts. And whoever was mentioning chapter 15, I think it was Roy, in The Exemplary Husband, I think one of the first things that he tells you to do is that you need to be in prayer about it. And so as we go to prayer and we humble ourselves, as the Galatians verse says, Galatians 1, you know, we need to consider ourselves first. And that will really change the demeanor and the delivery and the gentleness and how we go to people.
I agree. Okay, so next week, what we are going to talk about is we're going to talk about the functions of a local assembly. What functions ought a local assembly, you can't cheat off my notes, be doing? What is a local church supposed to be doing? And you can do some research on that if you want to have a head start, or you can just show up here Wednesday and forget that I ever said it. Either way is fine. And we're going to look at that next week. In the meantime, I want us, you know, I don't even know, I'm not even sure why. Maybe somebody else knows. Maybe you could tell me, or maybe one of y'all knows from my speaking. I don't know why we got on this subject we got on. I don't even know what had me to talk about this last week. I don't recall. And we talked about it again this week. And I am positive that's what God has us to be looking at right now, is how do we do church discipline amongst one another? How are we functioning, loving one another, and caring about the purity of the church? And confessing our sins to one another. Think about how neat this would be. Think about if we were in such a habit of confessing our sins, nobody ever had to come to us. It'd be great, wouldn't it? And we'd be praying for one another and holding one accountable and asking and talking. Never had to go and say, you know, boy, it sure seems like you're in sin there, brother. You'd already told me about it. You know, I told you this last week. Try this on. Proactively come to your meeting with the elders confessing sin next time, if there is any, instead of having to be dug into. If there's not, there's not. Praise God. Tammy and I were talking. I mean, look, the more you confess your sin, the less there is going to be there to confess. The more you don't, if you're in the habit of confessing, and I didn't say announcing your sin, I said confessing. Big difference. We've talked about this before. But confessing our sin is totally different than just reporting our sin. We just report our sin. That's totally different than confessing our sin. Confession comes with humility and brokenness. Reporting just comes with, yep, I did it. Okay, we're going to have an early dismissal tonight unless anybody has any questions or thoughts. For those that have a interest in discussing the, if y'all got an email, you probably all got an email from Brad about preaching, street preaching / street evangelism. Some people are going to stay around tonight and talk about that. Some men are planning on staying. There's no reason ladies can't sit around and listen, or children.